Morning, everybody, my dear Dhamma friends. So good to be together again. We will start this morning with some chanting. First, chanting the precepts, and then another metta chant. We'll start with the Namo Tassa, then the refugees, and the precepts. I chant through all 9 of the precepts here, and you decide which ones you want to take to heart and put into practice. Begin. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Pannādipāṭha virāmaṇī sikkhāpadaṃ sammādiyāmi. Adinādāna virāmaṇī sikkhāpadaṃ sammādiyāmi. Abrahmacariya virāmaṇī sikkhāpadaṃ sammādiyāmi. Musāvādā virāmaṇī sikkhāpadaṃ sammādiyāmi. Suramirāya Machapamadattana virāmaṇī sikkhāpadaṃ sammādiyāmi. Vikālabhojana virāmaṇī sikkhāpadaṃ sammādiyāmi. Nacca gitta vadita visukha dasana malakanda vilepana dharana mandana vibhusanatana virāmaṇī sikkhāpadaṃ sammādiyāmi. Ucchāsayana mahāsayana virāmaṇī sikkhāpadaṃ sammādiyāmi. Mettā sahagatīna citassa sabbavantaṃ lokaṃ parittavā vihārāmi. Idaṃ me sīlaṃ maggaphalaññānassa paccayo hotu. Now we turn over to the second page. This is also a traditional metta chant. And maybe just one comment in regard to the pronunciation. Sometimes there is a dot below the M. Like here in this chant, in the last line of the first paragraph, you have Sanghaṃ pujemi, or Sanghaṃ pujemi. And so the dot under the M makes the pronunciation like ng, like in sing. So sanggang bujimi. The other things, the line above, some letters or dots under or above letters do not change so much the pronunciation. But this one is one that makes a difference. Okay, then let's start with this metta chant. Imaya dhammanu dhamma patipatiya buddhang pujimi. Imaya dhammanu dhamma patipatiya dhammang pujimi. Imaya dhammanu dhamma patipatiya sanggang pujimi. Ahang averohomi abhyapachohomi anikohomi sukhiyatanang pariharami. Mama mata pitu acharya cha nyatimita cha sabramacharino cha avirahantu abhyapachahantu anika hontu sukhiyatanang pariharantu. Imasming arame sabe yogino avira hontu abhyapacha hontu anika hontu sukhiyatanang pariharantu. Amhakang araka devata imasming vihare imasming avase imasming arame araka devata avira hontu abhya pacha hontu anika hontu sukhiyatanang pariharantu. Sabe satta sabe panna sabe buddha sabe pugala sabe atabhava pariyapanna. Sabha itiyo sabe purisa sabe ariya sabe anariya sabe deva sabe manosa sabe vinipatika avira hontu abhya pacha hontu anika hontu sukhiyatanang pariharantu dukkhamochantu yathalada sampatito mavikacchantu kammasakha. Idang no punyabhagang sabbasatthanang dhimma. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Yesterday in my talk, I talked about sati, mindfulness, mentioning also that sati, mindfulness, is a leading factor, especially when we practice vipassana meditation. But as I said, other factors, other mental factors or qualities need also to be present. And one of these other factors is sadha. This is the Pali word, sadha, and it can be translated as faith or trust or confidence. Here we have the nouns, but actually it's also a verb, you know, to trust or to entrust. And trust ourselves, or to place faith, or to rely on. Or we can also say to place the heart upon. And so this means it's a willingness to embark on the journey, like to embark on this inner journey that I mentioned the other day. Sadha, as a mental factor, is a factor that we find in two groups. You know, the mental factors are grouped in several groups. And one of them are the five spiritual faculties, and one of them are the five spiritual powers. So sadha belongs to both of these groups. It's a mental faculty and it's also a mental power. And this faculty and this power, they are not to underestimate, because without sadha, we would not be here at this retreat. And without sadha, we would not be engaging in this practice leading to freedom, to liberation. And, you know, all of you are on this journey doing this practice since many years. So the characteristic of sadha is that it clarifies the mind, which means when sadha, confidence, faith, trust is present in the heart, in the mind, then it makes the heart and mind clear. It makes it bright. And when the mind, the heart is clear and bright, then it is not foggy. Then it is not obscured, or it's not muddy. You know, it's like muddy water. If we take a glass full of muddy water, you know, as first the water is not clear, it's muddy, one cannot see through. But if we leave the glass untouched still, then after some time, the mud will settle on the ground of the glass and the water then becomes clear. We can see through. So when it is said, you know, to place the heart upon, or to trust something, to have confidence in something. In what do we have confidence, or what do we place our heart upon? And in the context of the Buddha's teaching, sadha means to have confidence in the triple gem. The triple gem being the Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Sangha. The Buddha, or the word Buddha, Buddho, means awake, the one who is awake, or the one who knows. And what does the Buddha know? For example, he knows things as they really are, or he knows the natural laws that are operating not only in the universe, but more specifically also the natural laws operating in our body, heart, and mind. Or the Buddha knows the Four Noble Truths, or he knows dependent origination, or he knows karma. So to place the heart upon awakening, or to be awake, that means we also can place the heart upon our own potential for awakening, upon our own potential to become completely liberated. Then, in regard to the Dhamma, to place the heart upon the Dhamma, Dhamma meaning everything that exists, or the natural laws that operate in the universe, in us. And because the Buddha's teaching is about understanding these natural laws, his teaching was called the Dhamma. So placing trust in this. And then placing trust in the Sangha. Sangha as the community of those who practice the Dhamma, or who put into practice the teaching of the Buddha in order to see things as they really are, or in order to become fully liberated, or in order to perfect wisdom and compassion. In regard to Sada, faith, trust, confidence, there are different levels. The first level is what is called serene faith, or the initial faith. Next level is firm faith through understanding the Dhamma. And then the third level is unshakable faith. So in regard to the first level, the serene faith, initial faith, this is the kind of faith we start when we start our journey, when we embark of this journey of inner exploration. So this initial faith can arise when, for example, there is an immediate connection to something about the teaching, because somehow it makes sense, or somehow it confirms or touches a chord with our deepest or inner yearning. This initial faith can also be triggered when we are inspired by a teacher or a person. You know, for example, the way she behaves, or the way he is with his actions, or just some inspiration from a person. Or sometimes the inspiration comes through a book or an article we have read. Or else sometimes this serene phase comes about through the encouragement of a friend or a teacher or even a therapist. So as a first step, this initial confidence is really needed so that we set out on the journey. It's characterized through an openness of the heart and mind to try something new, to try something unusual. And it's really this willingness to take the first steps. And so then, based on this initial phase and really taking the first steps, one's confidence will grow because one gets the first personal and direct experiences. And so in this way, one's sadha becomes stronger and it becomes more deeply rooted. And so with this direct experience, this leaves deep imprints in our heart, in our mind, and these have the power for transformation. So when our faith is really based on a direct and personal experience of the teaching of the Dhamma, then it becomes firm faith because we know directly. And for us, this firm faith is very important in regard to our meditation practice. Because if we hadn't this strong confidence in the effectiveness of the meditation practice, then we would not be here, or then we would not be engaging wholeheartedly in this practice. And so then, with practice, with more practice, eventually this firm faith transforms into unshakable faith. At this time, our trust, our confidence in the teachings, in the practice, is so strong, so firm, that it is really unshakable. The heart, the mind, does no longer waver. So then there is no longer any doubts about the effectiveness of the practice of meditation or the teachings. You know, I had practiced meditation in Burma for many, many, many years. I have never encountered Mahasi Sayadaw myself. By the time I went to Burma, he had already passed away. But my teacher, Sayadaw Ujanaka, he was a student of Mahasi Sayadaw. And I found out, or later I read in a book that even Mahasi Sayadaw had doubts about the meditation practice he learned from his teacher. Mahasi Sayadaw's teacher was a Sayadaw called Chetavan Sayadaw. And this Chetavan Sayadaw was very learned and also a practitioner, really practicing the teaching. So these are the words of Mahasi Sayadaw. He said, "I myself was a skeptic at one time. I did not like the Satipatthana method as it makes no mention of Nama, Rupa, Anicca, Dukkha, Anatta, and so forth. But the Sayadaw who taught the method was a learned monk. And so I decided to give it a try. At first, I made little progress because I still had a lingering doubt about the method, which, in my view, had nothing to do with ultimate reality. It was only later on, when I had followed the method seriously, that its significance dawned on me. I realized then that it is the best method of meditation since it calls for attentiveness to everything that is to be known, leaving no room for absent-mindedness. Isn't this interesting? And in this passage, we also learn how Mahasi Sayadaw overcame his doubts. It was namely by following the method seriously, which means that he wholeheartedly put the instructions into practice. And by doing so, he himself very directly and personally realized the effectiveness of this practice. So it was through his personal and direct experience that he overcame his doubts. So even if we have strong and firm confidence in the teachings and in the practice of meditation, we also need patience and perseverance, because often progress is not as quick as we would like it to be. And this then is often the time when doubts start to come up. Can be doubts about the effectiveness of the method, or it can be doubts about one's own ability to do the practice, or it can be doubts about the teacher, who might not be the right teacher for oneself, and so on. Some years ago, I got a powerful teaching in regard to sadha and the need of being patient and persevering. At that time, a friend of mine had been to India, to Bodh Gaya, the place where the Buddha became enlightened under the Bodhi tree, and my friend had picked up seeds from that Bodhi tree in Bodh Gaya. He picked them up from the ground. And so he gave some of these seeds to me. And so then I put them into some earth in a pot. And what was watering them waited what would happen. I have to admit, I have never been a big gardener, but I had some experience with planting sunflower seeds. And these are easy and very satisfying because after putting the sunflower seeds into the earth, it takes about 10 days or 2 weeks, and then the result is visible. Little green sprouts come out. So then, yeah, putting these Bodhi tree seeds into the earth, watering them regularly, putting them out into the sun. 2 weeks, nothing happened yet. 1 month, nothing happened. I couldn't see anything. And you know, these Bodhi tree seeds, they were really very, very tiny, just as the head of a little pin. And I thought, oh, well, you know, maybe they are dead, nothing will happen. But I didn't give up. I was patient, continued to water. 2 months, still nothing. I told myself, well, I continue and see, maybe They just need some more time. 3 months, still nothing happened. But I thought, well, you know, I just continue and see. And then after about 3.5 months, I started to see the first little green sprouts coming out of the earth. And I was so happy. And then I got many little body trees. And the tree that you can see in the back here, that's one of these. It's a little body tree. I had to cut it down because to keep it inside, it would have grown, you know, too big. But as I said, you know, for me, it was a big teaching or powerful teaching in Sada. Really, having the confidence that, you know, the seed has this potential to grow, to transform into a plant, into a tree, and then be patient and persevering, just doing what needed to be done, namely to water it regularly, having it out in the sun. A last aspect that I would want to mention in regard to Sada is Sada sometimes is also connected to courage, because to embark on this journey needs courage, because it takes us to unfamiliar territory, to places we have never been before. You know, although we aspire to get to such places, but sometimes then there is still the fear of leaving the place where we feel familiar, where it is familiar. And in this regard, I want to quote again Ajahn Chah, this great Thai meditation master. He had said, In my own search, I tried nearly every possible means of contemplation. I sacrificed my life for the Dhamma because I had faith in the reality of enlightenment and the path leading to it. These things do actually exist, just like the Buddha said they did. But to realize them takes courage. Yes, it takes courage to step out of one's comfort zone and dare into unfamiliar and unknown territory. So maybe you all have the courage to take another step on this amazing journey to freedom from greed, hatred, and delusion. And may we have the confidence and trust in our own potential for full awakening. Now, let's practice together. Practice together a sitting meditation. So make sure you sit comfortably. Take a few moments to be aware of your body, to be aware of your posture. Let go of any tensions in the body. Or tensions in the mind. And gradually, you may bring your awareness to the experience of the breath. Wherever you feel the breath most clearly, and so we can let our mindfulness rest in that area and just be present to what is happening related to the breath. Being aware of different sensations in that area of the body or movements caused by the breath. The breath flows naturally, and we simply are present with this experience. If other sensations arise in the body and become dominant, we can shift our awareness to those sensations, be it the tingling or some pressure or heat or poking. And be present with those sensations as they are happening. And when the itching or the pressure or the heat has subsided, it's no longer there, and nothing else is dominant, we can go back to the experience of the breath. We can also open up our awareness to the mind, to the mental states that arise, such as thoughts, emotions, mental images, and so on. So being mindful when they arise, when they are present, just knowing that they are happening, being in close contact with them, to observe them, to feel them, and see them disappear. And not to forget to attend to each experience, be it in the body, be it in the heart and mind, with interest, curiosity, really wanting to know what is happening right there, but also with an attitude of kindness and caring. So in about 1 hour's time, we'll start with the individual practice meetings. Half of the group has their practice meetings today. All the others will have them tomorrow. So may the beautiful qualities of confidence and trust, but also of patience, perseverance, and courage be present and accompany you through this day. Bye-bye.